Welcome to Beat It Movie Reviews, now with 20% more Beat It and 50% more Review. Barely a joke. I'm Joe Cabello, and I'm here with...
Chris Hosoda.
Hell yeah, I am. And what did we just hear?
Oh, we heard our friend Davis IL's Queenie Pie.
Not his cream pie, because if we heard that...
Nope.
Who knows what's going on, how close we are for comfort. But that's to get the business out front because we need to just have some fun now. Who cares what the music is from or who we are? But this is a podcast where we talk about a feature review movie. And then we talk about some other things we've been watching. We've had some time off. Been hitting up some stuff, though, that I think we both watched that we should talk about right before we get into our feature review of.
This week we are reviewing Roadhouse, I believe.
Yeah, The Roadhouse.
Is it Roadhouse? There are multiple movies we both have seen, but Roadhouse.
Roadhouse is what needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
But yeah, where is that list that you said?
We got a lot. We got Ghostbusters. Oh, I watched Ghostbusters, the new one. But Love Lies Bleeding, which we wanted to review a couple weeks ago and didn't get the chance to. And then another Prime movie was Ricky Stenicki.
Let's get into Ricky Stenicki first.
Comedy, yeah.
Just to ease the audience in, this is a lot of actors in this, but the main one, John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an Efron guy in there, Zac Efron, as if they're like a Hemsworth, you know, one of the Efrons. So he's in it. A couple other people.
Andrew Santino from Bad Friends.
Went bowling with him once.
And Dave. Oh, yeah. Nice.
It was an improv versus stand-up comedians bowling league that some people got sick, so they called me in. He's a very nice guy. Ended up way more successful than me. I'm not even upset. I'm not upset. But yeah, this a Farrelly brother movie.
Yeah, just one brother this time, huh? And what's up with that? Did they have a falling out? It did feel like one half of a Farrelly brothers movie.
Well, Ethan and Joel Coen have done the same thing.
True.
It's only a matter of time. Diane Ward. True. I don't know.
Let's hope the Daniels never split up.
They're guaranteed to split up.
They're not even related. They're the most likely to split up.
They might as well be related.
Yeah. True.
And that's why I don't like imagining them having sex.
Oh, you don't? I'm actually the opposite.
Okay. Well,
only imagine them.
But what do you think about Ricky Stenicki available on Amazon Prime?
So I think this is like such a solid straight to streaming comedy. I think that John Cena is just genuinely funny. And I feel like he does a lot of these like random comedies, but he's always like good in them.
Yeah, it's always real. It's like stand out.
It's always
funny.
Great. Yeah. And so if this movie is just a vehicle, this movie is just a vehicle for John Cena to be funny for like an hour and a half. And if that's what you want, like this is totally that movie. But this movie reminds me of like old 90s movies where they have some dumbass shtick of like or premise of like an imposter character. It's like, House Guest with, what's his name? It was like a 90s movie with, Sinbad. And he's like pretending to be some old friend of the, but they don't recognize him immediately because, and the bit is because he's black. They don't recognize him.
Yeah. I watched House Guest a couple times on VHS back in the day.
Yeah. Classic. Phil Hartman. But anyways, so yeah, it kind of reminds me of like those old school 90s movies like that. And including like the fact that all of the main characters are like irredeemably shitty because the whole premise of this movie is, three friends figure out have an imaginary friend, or not imaginary, but a fake friend that they make up to use as their scapegoat whenever they do something wrong. And then when they get older, they use them as an excuse to take a vacation or, you know,
go see a concert,
get out of work, get out of family stuff. Yeah, do what they want without being tied down by their significant others. So immediately in the beginning of the movie, it's like, oh, these guys are lying to their wives.
Oh, it's bad from like the beginning when it cuts to them being adults and you're like seeing their life, and then, you know, they leave and it's like, oh, that's the reveal that they're lying about that. And like the one guy is a father to be, like, he's like a month out, like, and he misses the kids,
insane.
The baby shower. He misses the baby shower.
It's so insane that it's like, there's nothing you could do when you reveal this lie that you've been telling your entire life to someone that you have a child with.
Yeah, it's psychotic.
I feel like that is, it's absolutely psychotic. So, you know, that feels very 90s to me of, you know, a twist that in reality is 100% unforgivable, but you still watch it. But the one thing that's weird, though, with this movie, I feel like, is is Zac Efron's character is like useless. I feel like he's not funny at all or anything. Like, he's just the boring guy that's normal. He's
the worst one too. Like,
but he is the worst one. Yeah. It's really It's strange because I feel like he does a lot of comedies, and what I've realized is like in every comedy he's not funny. You know. In Baywatch, I don't think he's really funny. In what was the other one? Neighbors. He's just like the normal guy.
He's just all the time. An antagonist, like a shithead.
Yeah.
He kind of fills the comedy spot that John Cena would fill better. So I don't think they can both be the comedy part of it, you know? Because I'd say all three of the friends are like, even Andrew Santino isn't being hilarious in this one. They don't all get a lot of room. It's all the side players, like the actor guy. You know, like all William of that William H. Stuff. Macy. Yeah, it just is really swinging on this one.
But yeah, it is interesting because John Cena's character from the start isn't weird enough to be like shunned, and it is very strange how quickly he adapts to be successful. That doesn't make sense how he wasn't successful in the first place, because they just tell him, hey, come be with us, and he's amazing instantly.
Well, he has the Bible. Like,
yeah, sure. No, but what I mean is like he studies things to a point where it's like, why would you ever have problems doing anything in your life when you clearly are so intelligent that, like, you can do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah.
And the moment he pretends to be this, like, larger-than-life character, he is easily that larger-than-life character, you know? Usually these movies is like, it comes out that the character's a fraud.
Yeah.
They feel like they lied to everyone. But in this case, he's like, he is that guy.
It's the other and guys he actually, who are the fucked up ones.
Which
I think is really fun since he's not the main character as far as like the emotional journey. Like, you expect him to be the wrecking ball, but he actually continues to do good, just not for them, and like add to people's lives. So I really liked how much heart it had along with the comedy. It's not like a movie I was cracking up all the time at. I think the funniest stuff were the John Cena parody songs. That he sings
definitely.
Are like
so definitely worth just watching those alone. I feel
That's like basically all day I'm seeing ones like that, but even more lewd.
That's true.
So like I was like, oh, this is so spot on, but then it just has a lot of heart. And I watched this while cleaning my office, and it was the most delightful time to do that.
Yeah,
it was like, this is so fun.
Yeah.
I don't need to super pay attention to this. That's good.
Yeah, just like a cute, silly movie. John Cena is just great. Like always.
That's Ricky Stenicki. John Cena. Yeah, why don't we talk about another one we both watched on Netflix a couple weeks ago, Damsel. This is the Millie Bobby Brown movie where a princess is sacrificed to a dragon and has to escape it, which I think is pretty much the trailer and the like official log line. So why does it take 35 minutes for this movie to get to that point?
Yep. Yep. You know, when I watched it, I forgot I was going to tell you. I was like, hey, Joe, just skip 30 minutes in, like actually skip 30 minutes on the dot, and the movie starts then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the first 30 minutes is this bullshit buildup where I'm like, I know what's going to happen, and I do not give a shit about anything that's going on.
We get it. And, like, yeah, the whole movie, like, its premise hinges on us getting it anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, this is going to be the anti-princess prince story.
Yeah.
So you're already like, okay, and, we can skip all that.
It's funny, too, because the trailers skip all that. The trailers only show after 30 minutes in this movie because they know that's the interesting part. You know, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's a really weird movie in that, like, I don't know who it's for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What age it's for. It just is all over the place in that regard.
Yeah.
Like, it's too violent and crazy for kids, but it's also, like, not really, like, adult enough for any adult to really be like, this rules.
Yeah, I think, I feel like it's almost like this is a movie just made for Millie Bobby Brown from, like, Netflix is like, we need to make another movie for Millie or she's going to be mad. What should we do?
Millie's bad! And they're like, okay, everybody, hurry.
We hurry. She beat us again. I mean, this movie is like, it's not, once it gets going, it's like, it's totally fine. It's not like, it's totally serviceable, but definitely not anything great in terms of Netflix originals.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of it that's cool, and I kind of like how off of any sort of demographic it is, like that just makes it weird too. So there's a lot I like, but I kind of wanted it to be, you know, Die Hard with a dragon. And I think what lacked for me is not really, I don't know, feeling the geography of where she was, feeling like, I don't know, the set pieces had a certain sort of like peril I could understand. Like, you were never sure where the dragon could or couldn't go.
Yeah. And
things like that. You didn't really know the rule set. So it didn't really give me that feeling of, you know, set pieces to get out of this that really connect and I feel and I can sort of guess the trajectory, but they get there before I do. All that stuff wasn't really there. It just kind of felt like, oh, here's another CGI set of.
Yeah, it's like, place. It's always like her in tunnels, her in some random tunnel. And she's crying and there's like weird creatures.
Yeah, you kind of want to. And a lot of that shit was cool, like worms that heal you and her figuring that out. Like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, awesome stuff. But yeah, like almost really having each area be a different challenge that she has to get through. Like, oh shit, the dragon can't get up here, but everything is razors and shit like that. And it's not devoid of any of that. I think, like, every scene does have a point and the sets have a point, but I don't think it really satisfied what I would want to see from that at its best.
That's pretty much all I have to say about Damsel.
Spoilers for the end, just murking everybody pretty good.
Oh yeah, pretty sick. Also spoilers for the end, when her and the dragon sleep together, they try to do like a Shrek thing and it's kind of weird. Yeah, kind of a little strange.
Surprising how much gets in, if you know what I mean, of the dragon. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Love Lies Bleeding that we both saw maybe a week ago. This is the Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien romance film.
Yeah, romance thriller.
I mean, I'll just start by saying I can't recommend this movie enough. There's going to be a couple phrases or one phrase I use several times in this episode, and it's going to be used for the first time right now. This is definitely going to be in my top 10 of this year.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Love Lies Bleeding.
I can definitely see it.
It's going to be there.
Yeah.
We would have to have an amazing movie year for this to not make the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easily like the most unique movie I've watched this year. Really cool, really original. And yeah, just like it felt like a real movie compared to a lot of what I've seen, like a real artistic vision.
Thoughtful, cool. You know, there's a lot of,
there's like hints of surrealism in this movie that really put it over the top. You know, if there's bits of it in this movie that if they weren't in there, it would feel much more like every other movie I've ever seen, but they just add like this tinge of, you know, unique surreal shit that really makes the storytelling like that much better. And it's like visually so cool.
But there's, it's just the basics catnip that's in it for me. And that's weightlifting and muscular people and shots of that, of muscular people weightlifting, lesbian sex scenes, and gore and violence. So
yeah, for me, this checks off everything on your list of like what needs to be in a movie.
Yeah, it just like from the beginning was pleasing me. I think the opening credits are just like people working out in a like very sweaty gym, and I was like, hell yeah. Looking around the theater, being like, "You guys seeing this too? You guys get
as you did bring your protein powder to pour over your popcorn."
Yeah, got to get your protein in somehow.
Yeah.
I think they do have stuff like that because I eat Quest chips that are really expensive, and they have protein powder as the seasoning. They taste bad. This is a love story, but it's also like a dark love story. I found all that really interesting, where I think you could read it as, you know, a pro-love, or you could read it as anti-love. Like,
yeah, and both it's are like fair. There's parts of it that are very toxic, but also very like good for them at some points too. And yeah, do you think that Dave Frankel will ever play a character, will ever have a best role that isn't him being like a douchey shitlord guy?
No, because
he's
him.
So good.
Yeah, that like he just isn't anything but that. That's how a lot of acting ends up becoming. You just get typecast as the vibe you give.
I mean, even Kristen Stewart, you know, she gets typecasted as this like awkward, like lesbian character.
Yeah.
And it worked perfectly in this movie for her. She's fucking awesome in this. That's like, this is the role she needs to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people felt that way too. They're like, let Case do just be lesbian. A good double feature is Holiday. Oh, God, I forget what the rom-com is with her in it.
Oh, you know that Happiest one? Season?
Happiest Season, and then this.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, what I was going to say is this and Crimes of the Future. Well, because she is equally creepy in that movie, I think. Weird.
I'll take any double feature that's Crimes of the Future plus something. So
That's true.
That's perfectly fine. But yeah, I think Happiest Season, which is a lesbian rom-com, than this is like a great, like, hey, the easier family friendly movie at the start, and then let's do the intense movie as the back half of this double feature, which is a segment we used to do on this very show.
True.
But this is just a perfect movie. I think everybody should go see it. I think
very cool experience in theaters. The vibes are immaculate, you know.
Yeah, it has just
the music
great
is
attitude.
Fucking awesome. The colors, just the style. It's just, it is such a unique experience.
Yeah, a real movie. You know, just people who know. You know, it's like feeling the presence of the Lord. There's no real name to it.
Truly.
And I know you get that. We're going to get you to church.
Yeah, you know me.
All right, before we get into Roadhouse, though, I think we each have some, like, individual things we maybe have seen as well.
Yeah. Real quick, we're going to talk about X-Men 97, right? You watched the first two episodes?
I didn't watch the first two episodes.
I think it is only the first two out, so.
Yeah. And Disney, don't kill me, but even though I subscribe to Disney Plus, I use Chris's account, so.
Oh, you do? You do subscribe to them? I did think, I knew you used my account. That's why I was surprised you subscribed to them.
Well, yeah, because ESPN Plus, like I watch a lot of the UFC.
It comes with it.
Worth that. So I do that. And then I've been too lazy to log out on my Apple TV, because it fucking sucks to log in and out of anything.
Yeah,
on Apple
it
TV.
Does. It's true. That's so true. I'm on like, any of okay, those devices.
Yeah, when it kicks me out, an auto refresh, then I'll log into mine. But for now, I don't, which I think is fair use, right? Because if I'm already subscribing.
If you already subscribed, then it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Not that I give a shit.
X-Men, though, huh?
So it starts with a recreation of the original opening. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
It's cool. It's cool. I think it's a fun, very nostalgic feeling. Very like rose-tinted glasses. Like you're like, oh, is this what the animated series was like? And then you go to watch it and you're like, no.
Yeah, that looks way worse. Frame rate of 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost feels like if they didn't do that, like half the reason to do the show is to do that, you know, like you royally fucked up if you're like, hey, we're going to do the old X-Men. And then you don't have that intro. Like,
yeah,
the intro is a lot of the show. It's like Power Rangers where it's like they still have new Power Rangers series where it's they're using the same song.
It's iconic. It is iconic. Yeah, that is the thing you remember the most because you had to watch that every time you watched the show.
And it was good.
Yeah, and it was always sick.
Like,
yeah,
you're not humming the Game of Thrones theme song in your head all the time. Maybe you are.
Yeah, I mean, I actually do, but it's like a bit. That's because it's a bit. You know.
I used to do a bit song. I would come on to comedy shows as Chris Brown, but then reveal my name was Chris Brown and sing, my girlfriend watches Game of Thrones, but she doesn't read Game of Thrones. The book is different than the show, so I can't talk to her about the book. And I would just sing that over and over until the crowd sang with me. Always bombed.
Sick.
X-Men 97. Other than the intro, which rules, how do you feel about this, like, as a whole? Because, I mean, obviously it's, like, millennial catnip that they're trying to produce here.
So I was going to say, do you think that that's the case? Because I feel like that is always what X-Men was about, like, in the comics especially.
Millennial
is always this like mutants are treated metaphor, like a,
well, I mean more like just
like race or
more
gender,
the,
all that stuff.
It's the like millennial catnip being like, oh, it's your exact it's popular same now, so property, like, but we're going to do it exactly the same. You know what I mean? It's just like,
oh, right. Nostalgia. Well, the thing is, I would say it is close to that, but it is way more stylized and the action is like infinitely better, I think.
Yeah, it seems to have a much higher budget than the original cast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, right? Which, yeah, it's like, that's true. But I just feel like these first two episodes are kind of like justice for Cyclops haters. Or, you know, justice for the people for Cyclops in terms of how many haters he has. Because everyone's like, Cyclops is the worst. He's the most boring. And then he gets to do, like, the coolest shit in the first two episodes. Yeah.
Landing because he's essentially like by shooting
just using his optic his optic blast, and the thing is like his character is always has to be like the straight man, but when he wants to be a badass like he is and that's like not portrayed enough in the movies for sure because he just like gets killed and then you know he's just like a very lame character.
Yeah.
But it's basically like, what if a character had like Goku's Kamehameha, but out of their eyes at all times, whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in a sense, he's like an anime character put into an American property, you know?
Yeah. He does get his time to shine totally here. Where and comparatively to like Wolverine, where you're like, yeah, Jean Grey. Better off with Cyclops, like Wolverine's kind of a bitch. So yeah,
but you know, Wolverine has Morph now, so he has his own like
turn into Jean.
Yeah, again, he's like, please, not again.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it is. You know, catnip for all, but also there are obvious changes that they do. I mean, it's not supposed to be a remake of that cartoon, you know, but obviously so inspired, but the twists they take, like Magneto becoming the leader of the X-Men and even the focus on Cyclops being more of a badass, you know, which I think has been pretty cool and like interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I hope that they include some of the newer characters and it kind of expand the X universe when I know with the original series, you know, they would have like a character for like one episode that would come in. That's, you know, part of them, but not really.
Yeah.
And even like the New Mutants and stuff, if they had like the younger ones, that would also be really cool. Like Magic and... Because I think Colossus was in, like, two of the original episodes, I think, back in the day. They had like, I think...
Yeah, I forget
was, because... I don't even remember if Nightcrawler was in the
yeah, he was in the
original two, right?
Yeah, he had some good screen time.
Episodes. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I think it's fun. It's, like, a fun, light show, but it's definitely not, like, you need to subscribe to Disney Plus for this, you know.
Yeah, like, I think it's like, oh, did you like X-Men? Then you should go check it out, like the series. If you like that, you should check it out. Maybe it'll tingle some stuff. Other than that, like if you were to compare it to an Invincible or something where I might be like, hey, you know, check out Invincible, see what's up, see if you like that. I wouldn't necessarily do that for X-Men, you know.
True.
And they're trying to be different things, so, and that's fine, but just as far as my recommendation.
Yeah. Agreed. What was something you watched
recently? Okay. So I watched Beekeeper last night.
Oh, okay.
Finally nice. Saw it because I'm actually going to record a Shut Up, I Love It podcast episode in 40 minutes. For somebody. Okay. So cool. I finally got around to checking it out. I always wanted to see it, but it just slipped by in theaters. And I had a couple friends who were like, you have to see this.
I mean, I feel like that movie was very under the radar. And the trailer made it seem like, wait, he's, you know, Jason Statham is doing one of his straight-to-streaming movies, but it's coming out to theaters this time.
Yeah.
And then the other bit of it that I feel like no one was talking about is it was directed by David Ayer.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a much bigger deal, but is like nowhere on the marketing for it for some reason.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It makes it feel really weird. When I saw that, I was like, oh shit. I didn't even really know that until I literally watched it and saw the name in the credits. So.
Yeah. Wow. See, yeah, that is crazy. So it was good.
I really liked it. It is in the same wheelhouse as Roadhouse.
Okay.
And we will talk about Roadhouse, but, yeah. It is in that same wheelhouse in terms of how it's good. But, my God, they talk about, he's a beekeeper, which is not only literally what he is, he keeps bees, but he's part of a government program where there's a beekeeper. And the lore behind the beekeeper makes, like, definitely less sense than, like, the Bourne Supremacy assassins. And then even less sense than, oh, God, I'm trying to think of another assassin. Oh, the John Wick world.
Okay.
You know, but it's rooting itself in the real world and like trying to. So it's trying, unlike how John Wick feels like it's a fantastical world, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that hotel for assassins would work in this world, but Beekeeper's very much trying to be real, but everybody's kind of like in a goofy state in it. It's so, because action scenes are brutal, but it's so stupid. The way they're describing what a beekeeper is so stupid. Yeah. Like, I can't even describe how dumb it is. Where they're like, in the bee world, an assassin bee is created when the queen doesn't make the right offspring. So he kills the queen.
What?
And that's what happens in bees. So then the reason why Jason Statham is doing everything he's doing is because of that bee behavior. Like,
what? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Does that mean that, like, when he stings, he uses his stinger, he dies? Too?
Yeah, a little stinger comes out of his butt, and he's like, not yet. But, yeah, there's a lot of crazy characters in it. I would highly recommend it as just a good time.
Cool, yeah. It's written by Kurt Wimmer, who wrote Equilibrium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the writer of Equilibrium and the remakes of Total Recall and Point Break.
As nonsensical as all those movies.
Yeah. All right, cool. That kind of tracks. So interesting that David Ayer would direct a Kurt Wimmer movie. I feel like him not being announced as the director is like, because something was up with this production or something, where it was like he had to do it as a favor and then didn't want to be tied to it or some shit, or like,
yeah, or is it like weird, like a Suicide Squad thing? Is he still paying?
Yeah, I feel like he's done. What did he do last? He did The Tax Collector. No, that's production. Oh, no, he did. Oh, yeah. I mean, he did Bright after Suicide Squad.
Yeah, God.
People were, you know, whatever. But I guess The Tax Collector was, like, a weird one, because that was the one where Shia LaBeouf played a Mexican gangbanger named Creeper, and he got those tattoos actually tattooed on him.
God damn it.
And I don't know anyone that watched the movie, so.
Creeper.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh.
And I mean, talk about like prolific directors we will be talking about that with the Roadhouse as well.
True. True. Okay, so I got one more movie that I watched. I know that you didn't get to watch this weekend in theaters.
Rub it in.
Which was Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the new sequel to
Frozen.
A couple years ago. Yeah, it's Frozen meets Ghostbusters. The trailers for this movie made it look like it was Ghostbusters in a frozen New York, and it was going to be like every scene is them on green screen in some like fake frozen ass like rooftops. But city only gets frozen over in the last like 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh, wow. So the trailers really make it seem like it's the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, right? It really does. So that's kind of why I had noticed on Rotten Tomatoes that the movie was at like a 43%. And I was like, wow, that's really, really low. Is the movie just like green screen bullshit? But it's not. And I have to say that going into it, I was not expecting much. But me and two of my friends I went to see all felt like we were pleasantly surprised that it was a very average, competent movie. You know, it's totally fine. It's not like some awful piece of shit. There were laughs. You know, it was interesting. It never got boring. I feel like it is very similar to the last one, especially in terms of like Paul Rudd really carrying the movie with just Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd.
Yeah,
you know,
you're just
he's
happy.
Always so enjoyable.
Happy to see him.
He's was very solid in it. There were some solid laughs. All the previous Ghostbuster characters are sprinkled throughout the movie, and like some of them are in it a lot. Like Dan Aykroyd is like really one of the main characters almost. Like he's part of the main storyline. And then the other thing that surprised me with this movie, which I didn't realize, is that Kumail Nanjiani is in it a lot. He's a very important character. Not in the trailers a lot. And yeah, he actually he pops up very randomly and in a way that it seems like he is not significant at all. And then he comes back and you're like, oh, he's really important. That's really, he's like one of the main comic reliefs of the movie. And so he's, you know, if you like Kumail, he's awesome in it. Patton Oswalt is in it very briefly and is, well, not briefly, but he's in it a lot more than I thought he was going to be. And he's also great in it too. So the cast is like, I would imagine too big, you know, that's probably part of the problem with this movie. But in terms of like, just like a silly blockbuster movie about people, fighting ghosts
Busting
and just
having
some,
good.
You know, easy laughs. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, you know? The one thing that's wild in this movie is, the main character, McKenna Grace's character, she makes a friend with a ghost, and it seems like they have this like, so this is going to be a slight spoiler for like the middle of the movie.
Uh-oh.
But the ghost friend and her are like, man, I wish we could like actually hang out. And then she's like, well, there's this machine that will knock me out of my body for like 2 minutes. So I could be a ghost. And so she goes to do that. And it's like, wow, this is like classic story about how the horniness of teenagers know no bounds.
Yeah. I could turn into a ghost if you
want. I'll kill myself for 2 minutes if you want to fuck around real quick. Yeah. Pretty wild. But yeah. I feel like the one thing is like seeing Carrie Coon in this movie, I'm like, man, she needs to do more stuff because she's so fucking cool, but she's like just doing bullshit like this.
Well, it seems you enjoyed this bullshit. I'm actually excited to see it. I would have wanted to see it, but it just was a busy weekend. Instead, I watched 7 hours of UFC and did not leave the couch after.
You know, this movie feels like a perfect streaming movie. If this was on like comes out on Netflix, people are going to love it.
Yeah. which I guess that's the problem. That's why theaters are dying, man, because of me watching UFC on the couch for 7 hours.
Because Love Lies Bleeding comes out and no one goes to see that, but they'll go to see Ghostbusters.
Yeah, true. At this point, I'm happy if they see either.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you're really talking about real movies, I think it's time to get to our feature review.
Yeah.
Of
a real movie that was sadly not released in theaters, and it's a travesty.
Yeah. As hard as they've tried. It's Roadhouse, directed by Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Doug Liman, we were talking about David Ayers. Doug Liman, legend, Swingers, The Bourne, some Bourne series movies.
Bourne-ass movies.
It might have just been one of them, actually. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like, done a ton.
Most importantly, Edge of Tomorrow, I think, is probably his coolest movie.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow is like fucking awesome.
I think Chaos Walking is a bit better. Awful movie. But he's getting those chances. So this is Roadhouse, reboot of the Roadhouse series, whatever you want to call it, or not series, one movie. Do you have fondness for the original Roadhouse?
I only saw the movie when I was an adult, so I never saw it when I was a kid, unfortunately, or else I would have been ripping throats very early on. But I did miss the boat on that. How about you?
So I missed the boat, and I used to drive a lot. I was either driving for Lyft or I was driving for my job, where I'd have to go to different schools around the city. So, sometimes commutes would be 3.5 hours in the day, you know, or more.
Okay.
And I had a DVD player in my car. So I would often just play director's commentaries or comedies and stuff in the DVD player.
Right, yeah.
Like, I watched a ton of Simpsons episodes, and especially I think seasons 1 through 9 have commentaries with all the writers and stuff. Really great. Then I'd even stop by a record store if I'd like, okay, I have 20 minutes before I even have to drive from my second location. I'd stop in this place, Amoeba Music, and they had cheap box set DVDs. You know, you could get like Gilmore Girls season 3 for $2 and shit. And I got Roadhouse one day there for like super cheap. And so the only way I've watched Roadhouse is just only listening to it while driving.
Nice.
And I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you did get into 18 accidents and your license was taken away, suspended. You continued to drive without a license.
Lives were lost.
For years. But, you know, it's
worth it. Yeah, I think it was an illegal positioning of the DVD player, but, you know, what do you want to do? I had no real, like, Roadhouse has to be this. Or whatever, or that.
Right, okay. I mean, you know, that movie can be carried just by Patrick Swayze's voice anyways, right?
True, yeah. His movies, especially of that era, you just want to hear and see him. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, what'd you think of this new Roadhouse?
Okay, so this movie, for, like, the first half, I feel like is very mediocre. And then the moment they introduce Conor
McGregor,
everything changes. The movie becomes 10 times more funny. Every single time he's on screen, I laugh because he's always doing something funny. He's always got this look on his face like the troll guy meme. He's like ready the entire to start time. Shit. Yeah, he just looks like a fucking scummy motherfucker. That's not to say he is like genuinely awful at acting, And that's what makes it such a great performance.
It just works for that, right? Like,
yeah, he's just this pure shitlord, douchebag, asshole guy, and like in real life and in character. And it just works well for the setting of the movie and his antagonistic character. It's wild because I can't remember like a movie that was like a big budget movie like this that had such like a insanely bad actor as like one of the main characters that like takes you out of the movie. And it's like crazy. It's just so crazy.
I think he's so good though. I mean, like,
he wouldn't be
good in any other role.
No, well, that's the thing is, I think he would be. I think you put him in Oscar-worthy movies as any character, it's going to make them better. Because he is so insane.
Would it make the movie better? Yes. Would he be doing good acting? No.
No. Yeah.
But it would make the movie better. But I think he's
it is such a unique performance.
So. Yeah, they're getting exactly what they need out of him.
Yeah.
You know? And it is like, I've never met a guy that psychotic as his character, but it is something of like, I've met guys who just like always feel like, you're like, what are you performing to? Like, why are you acting like that? But you are so bought into being that. And, that's what he seems like.
Yeah, true. So there is that bit. And then also, like, near the last third of the movie, basically, Jake Gyllenhaal's character of Dalton takes this, like, insanely dark turn that turns the movie into this like psychotic main character action movie that I did not expect. Mm-hmm. And I thought like immediately was like, this is so fucking cool because who does this? I've never seen a movie take this crazy of a turn.
He doesn't become a hero. He just is able to be a psycho.
Yeah.
In the circumstances.
And he changes character. It's like a very big change to his character where it feels like he's done this for a long time. And it's like a life that he left behind, but will easily fit right back into. Like, he's definitely murdered people before. And a lot of people. Because he has no problem killing people in a way that's like effortless and like he doesn't have to think twice. It's like fucking wild. And
the way he puts it, he calmly says, I have a problem that when I get pushed too far, I just don't stop. And he just says it like that, where you're like, oh. And then he can just is like in that mode. There is no berserk mode he goes into. It's like he only gets calmer as he gets more angry.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, even, I mean, because I guess this is like, you know, slight spoilers to the movie. But like, even at the end of the movie, he's like, you know, defeated the bad guys in the most like horrific ways. And then like looks to the character who's like his love interest. And she's looking at him like, you're a fucking monster. And he's like, yeah, I am. This is me. Like, I'm sorry. He like actually says, I'm sorry. Cause it's just so fucked up what he's doing.
Yeah. The level he takes it to.
Wild. Yeah. Yeah. So the movie really just ramps up to this place that I did not expect it to go. And it makes it so much cooler than just some fucking reboot, same old story.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy is just not a good guy. We'll do what needs to be done to get the job done. Really surprisingly awesome.
Yeah. For me, I teased this earlier when we talked about Love Lies Bleeding, that there would be a phrase I would say.
Yeah.
My second time saying it for this is going to be in my top 10.
Damn. Okay.
This is a fun, stupid ass movie. It's so stupid ass, but it is just like, it is confident in its stupid assness, and it is like interesting in how stupid it is.
Yeah, that's true. It's true, because you know what? It does remind me of like a Fast and Furious movie if they were just doing fighting instead of cars.
Yeah, where it's like that kind of camp.
These characters are just extreme to this like level 11 of being like over the top in this world where they're doing things over the top, but everyone else is acting like it's completely normal.
Yeah, this is camp. It like is, people talking about like, oh, this movie is camp or whatever, and it often gets pigeonholed as a term like to mean certain aesthetic choices. Which is fine and fair, but like this is a movie that's camp, not in its aesthetics, but just in its spirit that I really liked. It very much gave me the same feeling that I get when I watch some older 70s, 80s, 90s movies that are just some of our favorites, you know, that are just so weird that you watch them now. You're like, fuck, this is crazy. What were they fucking smoking watching this? But this movie's awesome. That's what this gave me. And I think Conor McGregor I was already enjoying it without him. And I mean, this is a movie you put on and you fucking laugh with your friends while watching at some point.
Yeah,
and then like definitely. Get enthralled watching at other points. But Conor McGregor, I think, is so good. You know, it's not like I would say, oh, well, now put him in something serious because he can act. It's not that. It's like they used him like the right tool. You know, character actor thing where it's like, oh, he can do this, so just have him do that, and it's really fun. I hope it doesn't make his like acting career, because I don't know if I need to see him do this, you know, 20 other times in movies.
Wait till like the next Expendables or some shit, dude.
Yeah, he'd be in an Expendables.
Or in Fast and Furious, dude. He could be in Fast 10, 11 easily.
He'd probably also, play they himself. Need to put him.
Yeah, yeah. They should put him in a movie where he like beats up an old man, and then there's security cam footage of it, and it's just him in
it's
real
just
life.
The doing real. It. He rules, and he rules in this movie. A lot of fun.
Yeah,
stuff.
I was worried he's gonna get kicked in the ankle, and then
have it snap
broken.
Khabib shows up and he leaves. never mind, you fucker. His whole spirit in it is great. And I think the movie just... They have to be in on the fun, because there is a scene where he's driving back to, like, the home base or whatever. And he's just fucking having a great time in his car, his Jeep, while driving. It's a stolen cop car, actually. And he's just having fun, listening to music. And it cuts to a shot of, like, 8 coconuts cracked open and drank. Like, he's just been drinking coconut juice the whole time. And then the way he stops his car is by crashing it into a tree and then getting out happily and being like, where the fuck is everybody? It's insane. And just tons of shit like that happens in the movie where someone's just doing like the coolest version of something that doesn't make any sense. Like, no one would crash their car and
be... there's a bar fight and they're like, of course the band is still playing during the bar fight. Because it's awesome. But, you know, also because it's Florida. Like, that is a key part of the movie is Florida is its own character in this movie. And everyone is a Florida person in this movie. So it does make sense for the lore.
Yeah, the fact that Lucas Gage is a bouncer or whatever he is getting in fights every night.
Yeah.
Like, poor guy.
Yeah, why...
So serious.
Why the security at Roadhouse aren't just strapped all the time.
Yeah, and what is like, that clientele? Like, who the fuck are these people? Because like,
it's Floridians, dude. It's Floridians. Yeah, that's why.
It's so crazy because there's the gang that are causing trouble specifically to shut it down, But then even if the gang didn't exist, it's an insane place.
It's just like such a chaotic environment that that's what the thing was like, how are there not like half the people here strapped at all times that come in?
Yeah.
So when there's a bar fight happening, it just immediately turns into a shootout of like random people, because random people are going to shoot gang members. They don't give a shit if they have a gun and they're feeling threatened. They're like, fuck this. I'll shoot everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of that like old school Roadhouse feel that I'm glad is still there, where it's like, oh, this is like a, I believe that this bar is as violent as it is.
Yeah.
And as crazy as it is. And it's funny that the only reason that the bar owner hires him is because the gang. Like, it's like, this like, other stuff is whatever. Like, these guys come every week and they pay to drink here, so it's fine.
So hopefully they do a sequel, because they definitely, you know, they got Connor still alive.
And, maybe fighting soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like love this type of silliness, and it's upsetting to see people give this bad reviews or like knock on it. Like, I get it, but I feel like there's a certain level of like, do you not see what it's trying to be and do? Like,
yeah, they're definitely missing the point, because I feel like that is also how people feel about Fast and Furious, you know, because like I've said, it is like the pro wrestling of movies. It is very much like a pro wrestling movie.
Yeah, it's mythic.
In its like vibes and intentions. And that is already something that is so misunderstood, as like people are like, oh, this is so fake. And it's like, it's about the bravado and like the over the top machismo.
Yeah, it's very theater and big.
That is the point. And so, yeah, this is like totally in line with that. The 100%.
Yeah. Any other
really
thoughts?
Weird?
Final thoughts before we gotta wrap it up here.
Just crazy that UFC was chill with them portraying someone being maimed in the octagon, because I feel like they really don't want that whatsoever. Like, they're afraid of that. I thought, and this is the first time I've ever seen that happen.
I wonder what though inner workings are that, if there's like some fair use to do that, but it makes more sense that they had to be part of it. And maybe no press is bad press. I feel like Dana White, I don't know him personally, but from what I've seen, he's kind of the person like, you're a fucking idiot if you see that this movie scenario is an indictment of like the sport.
Yeah.
Like, there's movies that,
I feel like, I guess they are so successful at this point that like it doesn't really matter. But I just feel like even if like the WWE was in a movie nowadays, they wouldn't show someone being like neck breaking or dying.
Yeah, but they're also different. Like that's very different, because they do still try.
They actually care about safety. Yeah, that's true.
No, but they try to keep that area. They're like, this is real, you know, as much as they've given up on that in a lot of ways, just because there's no way that you could have the characters be their characters. They still try to keep that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it is a little like crazy considering that. But I think we also see like, if there's somebody fucked up, there's somebody fucked up. You know, like, it's not just saying, hey, the sport is dangerous. It's kind of saying, like, people can be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, true. It looks like, that's it for me on this movie. What about you?
Yeah, I'd just say this is going to be in my top 10 so far.
Yeah, and, you know, it's on Amazon Prime, so, like, easy watch for pretty much everyone has Amazon Prime.
I think this is like a great easiest watch movie.
No brainer.
Watch it with your friends, watch it with your family. You guys will have a good time. No need to watch the first one, but I'd say go watch it as well.
Yeah, because it is also on Amazon Prime.
It's kind of like Toxic Masculinity, the movie, so I can't really respect that and watch that. All right, so that is our review of The Roadhouse. That bombed, but let's... Chris, where can people find you online and what's coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I'm Rebirth Project on Twitter. Next week, we are watching Godzilla X Kong.
Oh, shit. That's coming. Coming out. Man,
the new empire.
movies are coming. I kind of got, you know, that January, February slump. I haven't gotten back on that. So,
yeah.
Time to do that. All right. Godzilla X Kong. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Well, and Dogman also might be coming out. Dogman. Have you seen the trailer for that one yet? It's a new Luc Besson movie.
Oh, wow.
But it stars Caleb Landry Jones, the creepy brother from Get Out. And it's basically like if Joker, it's like this character who's only friends with dogs. He's like a psycho. He basically is like the Joker. And it's like an action revenge movie where he like kills a bunch of, I think, like gangsters something. It looks really good, but it's like Luc Besson is kind of like, well, he's a piece of shit, but is also kind of not been doing good movies lately. So we'll see.
All right. Well, that sounds awesome. Go check me out at joecabello.com. Find some links for some my projects, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, later.